Well, we've sure moved quickly in the life and witness of John the Baptist, haven't we? If you were here last Sunday, where was John? He was in the wilderness. He was confident. He was proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. The crowds of people gathered around him to hear him teach, to hear him preach, to be baptized by him in the River Jordan. And this Sunday, where is he? Locked up in a prison cell. Alone, vulnerable, not quite as confident, wondering, questioning. Put yourself in John's place. Imagine yourself in that prison cell where John was, and under the circumstances that brought him there. What do you think it feels like to be in John's prison cell? You put yourself there in his place. What do you feel?
Abandoned.
Misunderstood.
Excluded.
I heard something from the back there. Let down.
Scared.
Confused. Forgotten. All of those things. Not a very comfortable place, is it? Feeling anxiety and threatened, isolated and powerless. I have to say, that's certainly not the words that I would usually think of when John the Baptist comes to mind. And when I think about the role that he played in the proclamation of the gospel, those aren't the things that come to my mind either. The truth is, John asked a very human question in a very human moment under the human circumstances in which he found himself in. In that prison cell, John says, "Are you the one? Or shall we look for another? Are you the one we're expecting? Or are we still waiting?" Now think about it. John the Baptist, the one in the know, the one who was supposed to know, the one who knew Jesus. This is John who leapt in his mother's womb during Mary's visit. This is John whose fiery preaching drew huge crowds to repentance. This was John who wasn't so sure that he should be baptizing Jesus. This was John who saw the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God descend like a dove on the newly baptized Jesus. But this morning, he's in a very different place in his life. In that moment that we heard recounted in that gospel passage, he's gone from freedom to being confined, from the wide open space of the wilderness to the captivity behind the bars of a prison cell. John is now far away from the desert wilderness. He wasn't baptizing in the River Jordan. People were no longer coming to him in flocks. Now he was in a different kind of desert wilderness. Not prophesying to the truth and the hope of a future Messiah, but questioning. And who was there with him? Just a few of his loyal followers who were even bothering with him at that time. Are you the one we're waiting for? Or is there someone else that we're waiting for? On the one hand, we might be tempted to see that question as a lack of faith on John's part, failure as one of the prophets of the Lord. But notice something about the gospel reading. Jesus didn't look at John in that way, in the way he responded to him. There was no condemnation. There was no judgment. In fact, Jesus recognized the pain in his cousin's question. In fact, I think Jesus hears faithfulness in what John was asking. And his gentleness in his response that he sends back says that he actually understood where that question was coming from. And so Jesus says to John's followers, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. Tell him that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. In other words, go and tell John the stories of what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've witnessed in your time with me. Go and tell John my story. And as you do that, John will hear the truth, and John will recognize the truth. John will know the mystery of hope and the grace of God that is a renewed gift in terms of faith and trust. John will be liberated. He will recognize that faith in him, especially in that vulnerable, lonely, anxious state of his prison cell. He will know the spiritual freedom that will see him through what he's experiencing right now in that moment, lying in that cell, and all that was still to come in his story, even his death. Well, what about us? What are our prisons? The places where we find ourselves, the realities that we live with in our lives. When do we feel our freedom is compromised? What are the anxieties that hold us captive? Where do we feel most alone? What's happening to cause us to feel very vulnerable? If we ask those questions of ourselves and seek to answer them and respond to them as honestly as we can, we know what it's like to be in that prison right there with John. Because that's often what life feels like, whether it's our own personal lives or because of what's happening in the world that we live in. We know long periods of grief when someone that we know and love and care about has died. We know the powerlessness of being diagnosed with an illness. We know the insecurity of losing a job. We've experienced the uncertainty of a broken relationship. We witness a world that is increasingly more violent and racist and judgmental. And all around us, we see and we hear about an environment that is becoming more and more compromised. These are some of the prisons that we find ourselves in. And it's not untoward in those times to be like John and ask, are you the one we're expecting? Or are we still waiting? The truth that we need to hear and to recognize is the same truth that Jesus said to John. Jesus doesn't judge us in those moments any more than he judged John. And Jesus doesn't condemn us any more than he condemned John. In fact, Jesus comes to us in those moments, and Jesus ministers to us. He says to us the same thing he said to John. He says, remember the stories of all I said and did. Remember the experiences of me that you yourself have had, or that you've seen around you in other people. Know me. Recognize me. Believe and trust in me. Something we need to remember that is that to doubt doesn't mean we don't have faith. To doubt doesn't mean that we've totally lost our faith. There's an intricate relationship between doubt and faith. They're two sides of the same coin. We can be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We can be disciples of Jesus Christ. We can be the ones who are boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God in our lives and still have moments of doubt when we too ask, are you the one? Or are we still waiting? Jesus doesn't leave us there, though. Jesus doesn't leave us in that vulnerable, anxious, lonely, insecure place. Jesus comes to us in those moments. Jesus is right there with us and leads us to a truth that inspires us and renews us. That faith that is at the center of who we are, who we are called to be, and who we are constantly becoming as we live more and more into the people of faith that God created us to be. Whether we're talking about John the Baptist or ourselves, I think our gospel reading for today honors and acknowledges a longing that is there in us. A longing that comes out of the gospel that we profess to believe in. A longing because of the one that we are committed to following, Jesus Christ. We implicitly trust and long in our hearts and in our souls and in our spirits for what we hope for. Whether it comes out of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it comes out of the experience of life, whether it comes from looking at the world we live in, we long for that world that God has promised us. All through the ages, where there is no hunger, where there are no wars, where death is no more. We long for that. We hope for that. We long for the promises of God to come to fruition, even when things appear to be stacked against us. We long for what was, even as we look forward to what will be. We sit in that chair, in that image, and we look out into the shadow and wonder what's next, and long for what is next in what God promises us in this life. The season of Advent is a season of longing, and out of that, a season of hoping that is more than 4 weeks long at the beginning of December leading up to Christmas. The truth is, we always live the Advent spirit. We always anticipate. We always wait. We always watch. We always pray. And especially, we always long. A reflection I read earlier in the week speaks to the longing and the waiting. What we celebrate during Advent and Christmas is a completely new way God comes to us in Jesus Christ. But we also celebrate the new persons we are becoming because God sent Jesus, God's own beloved Son, to the world God loves so much. Our Advent celebrations are based on our hope that God will bring a new heaven and a new earth in which all creatures have everything they need for life and live together in harmony with one another. That's exactly the hope that we need to always hold on to. That's the hope that we always need to long for. As the prophet Isaiah reminded us in our first reading for this morning, weak hands will be strengthened, feeble knees will be made firm. And to us who live in prisons, anxious and vulnerable in our everyday lives, Isaiah says, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come and he will save you. And then James in our second reading said similarly, be patient therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You must also be patient. So strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Friends, as we continue our Advent journey, our pilgrimage to Bethlehem, may it also be a journey that we take in our everyday lives, in the world we live in today, tomorrow, the next day, next month, next year. Let's allow ourselves, if and when we are feeling it, to ask the same question that John asked. Are you the one that we've been expecting? Or are we still waiting? And then, too, let's lean ourselves into the waiting, the wanting, the hoping, the longing for all of God promises us, whether it's now, in this moment, or in the time that is to come. So even and especially in our moments of doubt, When we're looking through the bars of the prison cells of our lives and our world, may we trust, may we believe the prayer of Julian of Norwich, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Amen.